All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive. Today we're tackling a case, Mickens v. Taylor, that really gets to the heart of, well, a fair trial. We're talking Sixth Amendment, the right to a good lawyer, you know all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's the twist. What happens when your client's previous lawyer, get this, had a connection to the other side, like a real conflict of interest?
Yeah.
And what if the judge just missed it, didn't see it, or didn't look into it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. We see that sometimes, you know, where things slip through the cracks. And this deep dive is going to really unpack what a defendant needs to show if their lawyer, well, if they had this conflict and the court just kind of overlooked it.
Right, because it's not as simple as you'd think. You'd assume, hey, the judge messed up, automatic new trial, right?
Right.
But the Supreme Court in Mickens, they had other ideas.
Yeah, and that's what makes this case so important, especially for you future lawyers out there, because it sets the standard. What do you have to prove if you're in this situation? You know, client's old lawyer had a tie to the prosecution, maybe even the victim.
Whoa.
Yeah. You got to know what Mickens says about how to handle that.
Okay, so let's set the scene. 1993, Walter Mickens is convicted of murder, a pretty serious charge, and gets the death penalty. But here's the part that just, well, it makes you uneasy. His lawyer, Brian Saunders, had actually represented the victim, Timothy Hall, before.
Wait, like on a totally different case?
Yep, assault and weapons charges. But here's the kicker. Saunders was representing Hall at the time of the murder.
Oh, wow. That is complicated, to say the least.
Right. And then it gets even more tangled. So the same judge who dismissed Hall's charges after, you know, he was killed, that same judge appoints Saunders to defend Mickens.
Oh, so there's a direct line there. It's not just, oh, coincidence. It's the same judge who handled both.
Exactly. And Saunders. He never said a word. Not to the court, not to his co-counsel, not even to Mickens himself. This wasn't some, oh, I forgot kind of thing.
Right, right. That's a big omission.
Huge.
Yeah.
And it only comes out years later during those federal habeas corpus proceedings. You know, those are a last resort for people trying to challenge their convictions.
Yeah, yeah. And those are hard to win, as you know. So this had to be pretty significant for it to even come up at that stage.
Absolutely. So initially, the lower courts, they weren't convinced. They said this conflict, even though it was undisclosed, wasn't enough to overturn the conviction. The district court denied Mickens' habeas petition, and the Fourth Circuit, sitting on bank, actually agreed.
And bunk. So that means every judge on that court heard the case. It wasn't just a panel.
Exactly. So we've got multiple courts saying, yeah, this conflict exists, but it's not enough to change the outcome.
Which really gets to the heart of why the Supreme Court took on this case. They wanted to set a clear rule. What's the standard for saying a conflict of interest, especially when the judge missed, violated the Sixth Amendment?
Right. So what does a defendant have to prove in that situation? Does the judge's mistake make it easier for the defendant to show they had ineffective counsel?
You'd think so, right? You would, but that's not what the Supreme Court decided. They said, nope, Mickens still had to prove two things. One, that there was an actual conflict of interest, not just potential, but a real one.
Right. And second, that this conflict actually messed up his lawyer's performance at trial. The judge's error, that didn't change the burden on the defendant.
So how did they get there? Justice Scalia, he wrote the majority opinion, and he really leaned on an earlier case, Kyler v. Sullivan. That one said basically the same thing. Got to show a conflict and that it had an adverse effect on the lawyer's work. And the only exception is if the defendant was completely denied counsel at a critical stage. Like in Holloway v. Arkansas, they pointed to that one.
Right. So in Holloway, the defendant had no lawyer at all. Completely different situation. Here, Mickens had a lawyer. He just had a conflicted one. And the majority was very clear on that. They said, the Sixth Amendment protects against conflicts that harm the defense, not judicial oversights.
It's a really important distinction. It's saying the focus is on how the conflict affected the actual defense, not just whether the judge made a procedural mistake.
Right. And then Justice Kennedy, he had a concurring opinion. He agreed with the outcome, but he had a slightly different take on the facts. He said, basically, that the conflict here was theoretical. Mm-hmm. He didn't see any hard evidence that Saunders' work for the victim actually impacted how he defended Mickens.
He also emphasized deference to the lower courts, who found no adverse effect. So Kennedy's saying, look, I'm not blind to the ethical issues here, but did it actually affect the trial? The lower court said no, so we should respect that.
And this wasn't a unanimous decision. We had some really powerful dissents that are worth understanding. Justice Stevens, he was not happy. He called the conflict egregious. And he said, look, when you've got a lawyer defending the guy accused of killing his former client, the whole system looks bad.
He thought that kind of situation, especially in a death penalty case, should automatically mean a new trial. No need to prove the conflict actually harmed the defense because the appearance of impropriety is just so strong.
Right, like the integrity of the system itself is at stake. And then Justice Souter, he had a different focus. He zeroed in on the trial judge's duty to inquire.
Yeah, that's from cases like Holloway and Wood v. Georgia. The idea that judges can't just sit back and ignore potential conflicts, they have to ask questions. And Souter argued that if they fail to do that, the defendant should automatically get relief.
He really laid into the majority opinion, saying it makes the duty to inquire meaningless, a mere formality. And then you had Justice Breyer. He also dissented. He was specifically concerned about these really serious conflicts, especially in death penalty cases, saying the risk of prejudice is too high.
So basically he's saying even if it's hard to prove exactly how the conflict affected the defense, the potential for harm is so great in these cases that we should just assume there was an impact.
Okay, so taking all this together, what's the key legal takeaway from Mickens?
Well, if you want to win on a Sixth Amendment claim based on a conflict, you have to show two things. One, an actual conflict of interest, a real one. Not potential, but actually happening.
Right. And two, you got to show that conflict messed up your lawyer's work on the case. You need concrete examples of how it negatively impacted the defense.
And remember that exception from Holloway. Automatic reversal, where you don't have to prove the harm, that's only if you were completely denied a lawyer at a crucial point.
So Mickens basically says, even with a conflict, it's not enough just to point to it and say, look, there it is. You've got to show that conflict actually made a difference in the outcome.
And what does this mean for you guys, future lawyers? Well, if you're going to be a defense attorney, Mickens is shouting at you. Disclose any potential conflicts, even if you think it's no big deal. Being open and careful about this, that's how you keep things ethical and make sure your clients are treated fairly.
And for those of you who might end up as judges, remember that duty to inquire. Just because Mickens says it doesn't automatically shift the burden of proof, doesn't mean you can just ignore potential conflicts. You still have a responsibility to look into those things.
And really, for all of you, no matter what kind of law you practice, Mickens says it's harder for defendants to win on a conflict claim without clear evidence that the conflict actually hurt their case. Just having a conflict, even a secret one, that's not enough to get a new trial.
This case really forces you to think about how we balance things in our justice system. We want to guarantee a fair trial, but we also don't want to overturn convictions lightly.
Right, so it's about finding that balance. Where do we draw the line?
So here's something to chew on. With a conflict as serious as this, defending the person accused of killing your former client, do you think the Supreme Court got it right? Should we be putting more energy into preventing these conflicts in the first place? Maybe stronger rules for judges, more emphasis on disclosing conflicts, you know, things like that. Or did the court strike the right balance by saying, we need to see how the conflict actually affected the defense before we grant a new trial?
It's a really tough question, and there's no easy answer. It goes to the heart of what we value in our justice system. Fairness, efficiency, preventing harm.
Okay, for all you law students out there, Mickens v. Taylor is a big one. If you want to understand the Sixth Amendment, the right to counsel, and how we prove someone got a bad lawyer, this case is a must-read. And don't just stick to the majority opinion. Read those dissents. Really wrestle with those different viewpoints.
That's how you get a real understanding of this complex issue. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. It's been a thought-provoking one for sure.
Absolutely. Until next time.